The overview is that we want to look at three categories. One is, what are those foundations? Secondly, what's key to seeing them developed? And the third is, how do you go about that? So, with that in mind, I also want to mention that this is a real free-for-all, and we'd like for you to feel the freedom to interject, ask questions, make comments throughout it. You don't have to raise your hand, just like we're sitting around the living room, whatever, and jump into it. Now, before we get into the, which foundations, what I wanted to mention is that when I was in school, and I went to North Texas, there in Denton, in the late 60s and graduated in 72, one of the things that I began to work on is that I wanted to graduate with more than one degree. Now, most students I find is that what I find is that they want to graduate, they just want to get that degree and get out. And the tendency is, boy, let me get the degree and then I'll really start working on some of these other areas in my life. But I found, and those of you who are in college now may not realize this, but this really is true, that you have more time available to you right now than in any other time in your life. So we want to make sure that we take full advantage of that opportunity. And so I made a decision that I was going to graduate with more than one degree. My first degree was in English. But the second degree was in these areas of foundations. Now let me give you what I feel like, and Bryce and I are working together on this, that we feel like are the three main areas of foundations that you ought to be majoring in and getting a degree in. The first one is in the area of convictions. The second one is in the area of character. And the third one is in the area of skills. In fact, we have an illustration we'll go hand out. Bryce, why don't you go ahead and hand that out? And we feel like there are a lot of things you can focus on, a lot of things you can do. But we've tried to kind of summarize it down to those essential minimums. Convictions, character, and skills. Now, if you have your Bible, turn to 2 Peter 1. Starting with verse 3, 2 Peter 1, 3, through verse 10, or actually 11 there, you notice that God says some big things there. First of all, he's saying that in verse 3, that God has given us everything we need for life and godliness. It's been given to us. And in verse 5, he starts off by saying, what does he say in verse 5? Anyone? Mm-hmm. He says, make every effort to add to this. He said, you've been given everything you need for life and godliness, the faith, and everything's been given to you because of the grace of God. And he says, now make sure you add to it. You build on it. That's what he's talking about down in verse 10. Be the more eager to make your calling and election sure. Bryce, why don't you tell him what convictions is important.
Alrighty. I'm just holding on to this thing. There's a saying, in fact I encourage you to write this down. Beliefs are ideas that you hold, but convictions are the beliefs that hold you. Say it again. Beliefs are ideas that you hold, but convictions are the beliefs that hold you. Here's another saying. This is kind of corny, but it's true, so it's okay to use a corny saying. You guys, how many of you guys memorize verses? Or you ever have? It's not how many verses you have, it's how many verses have you. How many verses have really gripped you? So Philippians 2:3, who's got that one?
Do not think of yourselves. Do not think of yourselves with selfish ambition or vain conceit, but consider others better than
more highly than you ought.
Yeah.
Rather think of yourself with sober judgment. Is that the right verse?
Yeah. Let's hear it from the get go, Jeff.
See, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather consider yourself with sober judgment according to measure. See that.
Just a different translation there. So, has that verse, is that just a verse that you know in the back of your head? Or does that verse come to mind every time you go to do something for yourself and put somebody else down? When there's opportunity.
I've thought about it for a year.
So. Really? So that's just a verse you have, right?
I have it
in my right. So, has the verse become a conviction to the extent that there's no way you can get around it? Somebody look up 1 Corinthians 9:16. Who's got that one? Woe is to me if I do not preach the gospel. So he was compelled. Another version says that Paul was compelled. So that had gripped his heart. That was something, a conviction that held him, that he wanted to share the gospel. Jeremiah says the same thing in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9. He says that if I don't mention God's word, that it's in his heart like a fire. He says it's like a fire shut up in his bones, that he's weary of holding it in. He says, finally, he says, I can't hold it in. I've got to share it with people. So that was something that had taken hold of him. You see the difference there between just an idea and a conviction? There's a great illustration. There's a city of Pompeii that years ago they found, scientists have found, there was a, on Mount Vesuvius, there was a volcano that had erupted. The scientists estimate that there was only about 15 minutes. They only had about 15 minutes from when the volcano erupted to when the ash settled on the people. And this is a Roman colony. So people fled for the ocean. They found hundreds of people, just mass bodies by the ocean. They were trying to get away from this thing. And what they also found at the gate, at the city gate, was a Roman guard who was standing still at attention with his spear at hand. His convictions held him. So his responsibility was to guard the city and under no circumstances to flee his post. So he held his ground, still had the spear in hand, and was fried over. They found him just totally fried over, still at attention like this. So this fellow's convictions held him. Okay?
See, why that's important to work on it now is that you don't really know what your convictions are until they're tested. Unfortunately, for most Christians, because they thought they had convictions in the area, when they were tested, it didn't hold up. You know, what do you do when you, you know, later on you get married and you're like one of our staff couples up at Kansas University, they're pregnant and they have their first child is on the way, and they find out that shortly after the child is born, the child dies. That's when your convictions are tested. See, oftentimes we think, well, I think I'm pretty strong in that, and I'll wait until I'm tested to develop the conviction. It's too late. In most cases, it's too late at that time. You know, Satan has come along, and he's able to wipe you out because you didn't have the foundation. You know, you built on the sand rather than the rock. So now is the age where you really want to start majoring on some convictions. We're going to be talking in a few minutes about what are some convictions that you need to be majoring on. Well, the second area that we've got listed on that sheet is the area of character. Does anyone know Acts 24:16? What does Paul say there? Someone look that up. First one to get it. Anyone?
So I strive always to keep my conscience clear before God and man.
Okay. Paul made it a point that he was clear in his conscience, his character before God and before men. I mean, that covers everything, doesn't it? God and men. That's everything. The reason why character is, one of the reasons why character is so important is that there's nothing more disappointing than a man whose competence exceeds his character. Well, we see that in politics even today, don't we? Some brilliant men in politics, for example. What's their downfall? The character isn't there. And Bryce has got some good points on why that's so important also.
Okay. There's a saying that Terry has shared with me a while ago. It says, a little thing is a little thing, but faithfulness in a little thing is a big thing. Yeah, that thing goes on there. So a little thing is a little thing, but faithfulness in a little thing is a big thing. Somebody look up Daniel chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Daniel was a man of impeccable character. Who's got that one?
So the governors sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault, because he was faithful. Nor was there any error or fault found. Then these men said, "We shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God."
Right, so they said they could find no corruption in him. These guys were wanting to take him out, and they said they couldn't find any corruption in him. They said, finally, the guy said, we might as well give up trying to find deceit in him. So could people say that about us? Could people say, boy, Jeff Repass, there's just no corruption. You know, there is nothing in him. We might as well give up trying to find something on him. So that verse, are we striving to keep our conscience clear? The Acts 24:16, are we striving to keep our conscience clear before God? There's a great story. That demonstrates depth of character. For me as a young guy, I think, boy, God, I want you to develop character. And so go ahead and give it. I realize character is developed over time. It doesn't come just like that. It's something that I have to work on. Here's a story that really demonstrates good character. Carl and Edith Taylor were a couple that lived in Massachusetts. 1950, they were factory workers, and they were celebrating that year their 23rd anniversary. And Carl and Edith were one of those couples that you looked at, and you just could tell they were in love with one another. Somehow, after 23 years, they were more passionately in love than when they first got married. People in their church looked at them and said, "Man, that's the model of the church." So soon, Carl got word from the government that they were sending him to overseas to Okinawa. So, with tears and fear, Edith sent Carl off to the airport to Okinawa. So Carl's over at Okinawa, and the letters just pour every day. Letter after letter after letter. And then eventually they slowed down to about a letter a week. And then eventually the letters stopped. Carl quit sending letters. Then one day a letter came. Poor Edith read, "Edith, there's no easy way to tell you this. I've met a young woman and fallen in love. I'm filing for divorce. I won't be coming home." Some time passed, and somehow, I don't know what Edith went through, but somehow she found in her heart desire and the courage to write back and say, "Carl, just every now and then, would you write me a letter and know how you're doing? I still care about you." So some time passed, and she got a first letter from Carl. And it said, me and Akoi, who, by the way, was his house servant, 19-year-old house servant, where he was living,
ended up marrying or expecting our first child. We're going to name her Maria. Then a few years later, they got a second letter. We just had our second child, Helen. Then years passed, and a third letter came. Edith, I'm dying. I have no way of taking care of Uncle and the girls. Is there any way that you could find your heart to take care of them? So Edith calls Akoi and says, why don't you send the girls to me? I'll take care of them. Akoi, out of fear, says, no way. But then eventually she couldn't take care of them. She had no choice. So she sent the two girls, Maria and Helen. And Edith took care of them. About a year passed. And Edith realized that the girls not only had missed their father who had died, but their mother who was overseas. So Edith said, why don't you come over here? Akoi, fearful, but with no other hope, said, okay. The U.S. immigration said, there's no way. We've already filled our quota. Edith persisted. In an act of Congress, they allowed Akoi to come. And who was there at the airport in New York to meet her? Edith. There's depth of character, huh? This woman had character. Demonstrated faithfulness, forgiveness, integrity. So that story gets me fired up, thinking about character.
Thanks, Bryce. The third area is skills. Does anyone know Psalm 78:72? It talks about David there. I'll just give it to you. It says, and David shepherded them with integrity of heart, that's the character, with skillful hands he led them. A key to effectiveness is not just having strong convictions, not just having godly character. Skill is involved as well. You know, when I was a student at North Texas, I was talking with a man who said that the president of Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary there in Fort Worth had made the statement, and this could apply to any of them. He said that 95% of all Baptists will never leave anybody to Christ. And that would be true in any church. But one of the key reasons for that is that they don't have the know-how. You can have a strong conviction that you need to share Christ with somebody. Your character may be exemplary, but if you don't know how to do it, how effective will it be? And you need all three of those areas. And, you can have oftentimes we don't have conviction in certain areas, but we've got the character and we have some of the skills. Or we may have a conviction, and we have the skills, but our character and our needs are effective. See, well, all three of them are important. I think what we'll do now is move to the second section, which will take about 30 seconds. And that is, what's the key to effectiveness? To actually building on these foundations. What do you think? Just out of the sky, let's just see if anybody can hit on it. There are probably several keys, but this one is what I want to talk about. Any thoughts? What would be a key to building these foundations? Yeah, that's a good point. Excellent. Starting now. Woo. Excellent. What else? Okay. Making sure you're using the right premise, the right material, the Bible. Good. Another key. What are some others? Passion, okay. Good, excellent. Excellent, very good. Having some accountability, someone to mentor you, hold you accountable. All those are excellent, they're all key. We haven't hit the one that I'm looking for yet. It's actually very simple. It's this. The key is that you've got to take responsibility. You know, when I moved to Birmingham, Alabama, when I graduated from college in 1972, I was living with a staff family in North Texas, and I moved with another staff family to Denton, Texas, and to Birmingham. When we first got there, the staff guy and I were having a cup of coffee together, and he said, "Terry, I want you to know that the training, the help, and so forth that you're looking for is available here, but you've got to take the responsibility to get it." So oftentimes we expect our parents to give it to us, and they give you some. We expect our church to give it to us. It's their responsibility, and they give us some. Sometimes it's a group like the Navigators or BSU or Campus Crusade or whoever you're involved with, and they'll give you some. But none of those are the key. The key is that you've got to take responsibility for it. When you stand before God and He says, "Hey, Terry, why didn't you develop your convictions?" I can't say, "Boy, man, the Navigators sure didn't give it to me, did they? Oh, boy, I thought my church, you know, I had this new Christian Ed guy. He didn't give it to me. It's his fault." How do you think that'll play with God? Not too well. The key is that you've got to take responsibility for it. Okay? We're not going to expound upon that. I think that's fairly straightforward. Here's what we're going to do now. What we're going to do is we're going to look at those three areas of convictions, skills, and character. And we want to fill those in a little bit. I mean, it's one thing just to have a topic there. But let's brainstorm together. We'll just do this as a group. We're going to break up into some smaller groups here in a little bit. But let's do this just as a group. Let's take the area of convictions. Maybe at the bottom of the paper, you know, underneath the topic convictions, maybe you can just jot some of these in there. What would you say for a college student ought to be some areas of conviction that you need some depth in, you need to grow in? What might be some topics that you want to put in there? Well, for you personally, you know, as you think, boy, when I graduate, I really want to have some conviction in these areas. Like Bryce said, I may believe them, and I may hold some beliefs, but do they really hold me? Are they at the conviction level? So what do you think? Any of you? Very good. Maybe the areas of wisdom and discernment, you know, what to say and when to say it. Very good. Boy, that's one that applies to me, for sure. What are some other topics? Okay, purity. Let's put that under character. I mean, it's conviction, obviously, but let's put that one under character. What are some of those foundational truths that you really need a conviction on? Let me throw some out there. Maybe this will stimulate your thinking. What I feel like is very important for college students, I mean, this is essential, I think, is the authority of the Word. Learning to place your life under the authority of the Word. We have summer training programs every summer, and it was so funny. I was talking with a student recently, last summer, at a program at the Glen in Colorado Springs. About 6 weeks into it, I said, what are you learning? And she said, "You know, I never realized that God wanted the Bible to be the authority in my life." A lot of you guys today, now this would apply to a lot of you, but many of you, you know, you've never really known that God wants the Bible to be the authority in your life. That's the basis. That's the compass. That's the rudder that steers your ship. You know, that's the Bible, living on the authority of the Scriptures is what you base your decisions on. That would be an area. How about the whole area of the Great Commission? If God said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all," I mean, Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." and that applies to you and me. Then one day you go stand before God and He says, hey, you know, Greg, Jonathan, Levi, what'd you do to make disciples? Is that a conviction? What might be some others? Okay. Good. Excellent.
I don't know if this kind of goes under authority of word, but lordship.
Ooh. Boy, that's a good one. The lordship of Christ. It would be tied to that, but that would be an excellent one you could put under there. What about God's sovereignty? You know, I found that's another big one. Is God really in control of everything? You know, when Travis and Susan's baby was, you know, died, is God in control of that? What's a corollary question that goes with that question? Is God in control? No? No? That'd be a good side study with that one. Not only does God... Excuse me?
Am I trusting God?
Oh, okay. Yeah, can God be trusted? See, that's a good one. Excellent little study. Can God really be trusted? So another way of even looking at that is God in control and does He really love me? Okay, I find those are two that most Christians wrestle with. I was just speaking a few weeks ago up at West Point to a bunch of cadets and midshipmen, and we talked a little bit about the sovereignty of God and God's love. So when they don't get the appointment in the military they thought they rightly should have gotten and deserved, it causes them to question God's sovereignty and God's control and God's love. Those are areas you really need to make sure you've got some strong biblical convictions on. How about God's promises? You know, when I'm with staff out in the field, one of the first questions I like to ask them is, hey, what promises are you believing? If God's going to do what He says He's going to do, what is He saying? You know, how do I believe about promises? You know, what do I believe about promises? Can you think of any one or two others before we move on? I'm going to give you a list of some that could be suggested. Okay, like I said, I'll give you a list in a little while. How about the area of character? For you guys right here, what are some big character issues you feel like you need to grow in? Someone mentioned purity a while ago. Let's put that one down. What are some other areas? Character. Discipline. Ooh. Ooh. Boy, another big one. Integrity. Okay. So what would be a good one-word title for that one? It's a very good one. Would be tied to pride. That'd be the negative side of it. I want to bring praise to myself, or do I want to bring praise to God? You know, stuff like that. That those areas. Okay. Some others? Ooh. Psalm 15:4. Does anyone know that one? Who keeps His oath even when it hurts. Keeps His oath even when it hurts. How about one or two others? You know, one that I find, this never was applicable to me when I was in school, but I find with a lot of college students it is the use of the tongue. And if you believe that last statement of mine, I've got some real estate down in the Everglades to sell you. How we use our tongue, boy, that gets me in more trouble. Promises I make that I don't keep, or comments that I make that I shouldn't have made. You know, the whole area of the tongue. What there is self-control. How about love? You know, that's an often used word, but is it really, is my character exemplified by love? Do I freely accept people and seek their well-being? Right there, forgiveness. You know, I find that we're not real good at forgiveness. Okay, skills. Because we want to get into some practical things here in a little bit. Actually, I've been working on some of these things. What might be some skills that you feel like as a college student you'd want to get before you graduated?
How to study.
Ooh, very good. How to study.
Not the Bible.
Yeah. You know, Jerry White has written a book through Now Press called Making the Grade. It's how to be a successful Christian student. I used to teach a course when at the University of South Carolina titled The Freshman Year Experience. One of the things we worked on was just how do you become a successful student? Most of us don't know how to study. I never did. What's some other skills?
Time management.
Time management. Ooh. Use of time. Very good. How about some others?
Communication.
Communication. Ooh, that's an excellent one. Think of the area of relationships. Now, communication could fit in that. There might be some areas of some skills in there, in relational skills, that would be helpful to you.
Sharing the gospel.
Okay. I would probably stick that under ministry skills, but it obviously involves dealing with people. Bruce, you started to say something.
I just want to say etiquette.
Okay. Oh, very good. Etiquette. You know, not chewing with your mouth full or with your mouth open, you know, all sorts of things. Very good.
Making your first hit count.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
Could be. I thought you meant making a good first impression, but you were thinking something else.
I figured you'd probably try to, like, make it a spiritual application.
You know, the couple that I find today are the areas of making friends. You know, I find a lot of people don't know really how to make friends. And the flip side of that is an area of how to resolve conflict. Boy, one of the reasons why I think a lot of Christian couples get divorced today is they never learn how to resolve conflict. You know, so you just, man, the way you've always handled it is you bail out. Boy, that's one. Bruce?
How to
be, yeah. Oh, yeah, very good. How about we talk about time management? How about managing your finances? Money management. Charge it. You know? Boy, I find so many students, every year we're working with students specifically, would always do things on money management. You know, most students have no concept of really how to manage the finances wisely. That's why the debt is so much of an issue today. How about some ministry skills? Let's see, it was Michael. Michael mentioned how to share the gospel. Ooh, excellent. Do you know how to share the gospel? What would be some other ministry skills?
How to really pray effectively.
Excellent. All right. Becoming a prayer warrior. That's a skill. Some others? Okay, excellent. Sharing your testimony.
Quiet time.
Quiet time. You lead somebody to Christ. You know, when we have four daughters, and when we brought our first one home, you know, it was amazing. Here we had this little infant, weighed about 6 or 7, 8 pounds, somewhere in there, and we were totally responsible for its care. What do you call that in a spiritual sense? Spiritual pediatrics. Discipleship. You lead somebody to Christ. What are you going to do with them? Do you know how to help them grow as a follower of Christ? The way of discipleship. One more big category I'd throw in there is the whole area of equipping. Once they're growing as a disciple, do you know how to equip them to do the same thing? Okay? We're going to give you, like I said, we're going to give you a little list. This isn't an exhaustive list or the list, just a list to kind of stimulate your thinking. But what we wanted to try to communicate here is graduate with 2 degrees, or 3 or 4 degrees, actually, be more accurate. The tendency, again, for most of us, I know this early on in my college years, this was my thinking, let me get my degree, and then I'll start working on these things. Guys, in many cases, it's too late. I mean, you'll grow and develop the rest of your life, and God will be developing some things in you the rest of your life. But now's the time to get to really major in these areas. And it's your responsibility. Okay? Now you might be thinking, okay, if this is kind of an overview, some things that I can work on, how do I keep from making this simply another sheet that I slip inside my Bible? How do I really put meat to this and make it practical? And Bryce is going to cover that.
If you get your Bibles, open up to Philippians 2:12-13. If you don't have it, that's all right. We'll start at the second part of verse 12. It says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. Does anybody have that in another translation? That was the NIV. Chapter 2, verse 12. The second part of 12 and then 13. Brian, you have another translation other than NIV there? Let's hear what you got, Jonathan.
Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for as God does work in you both to will and to do His good pleasure.
Okay, good. Everybody else in here is NIV or... Alrighty. I read it in one translation that confused me all the more. It was the Amplified translation, and it talked about, say, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling as if it were God solely working in you. I thought, you know, what is that? I'm supposed to continue to work it out. And then it says, but God is doing it, and that He's the only one doing it. So it's kind of confusing. Terry showed me this illustration a while back, and I really like it. It's a partnership. Us working, and God working in us. So look at this. Okay. It's as if this were the cement, conviction, character, and skills. And then we build the forms for that cement to go in. Okay? So for example, if this were, let's say that this were purity that we are wanting God to work on. Okay? So one of the things we mentioned was purity. If this is purity, God is going to develop that. Okay? But then we have to develop, we have to put forth the effort to develop forms. So what would some of the forms be for purity?
Abstinence.
Okay. So we'd write abstinence right there. Don't watch X-rated movies. Or throw away your porno magazines. You guys are in college, you see them all over the place. Or maybe you have some yourself. So throw away your... Thank you. Satan, the first thing he tells us to do is to stop doing something. So when you start memorizing verses, he says, well, don't memorize verses. You know, do everything you can. You know, you don't want to memorize verses. Just not. Looks like we've got enough people. We've got 11 people. Why don't we break up into three groups of four? And this group that'll be over here, why don't you guys come up with some things under convictions? We've already come up with some ideas, but why don't you apply this? Let's come up with some forms, and it doesn't have to be this pretty. Terry's secretary drew this. So it can be a five-sided form, a ten-sided form, different things that you're going to do with this given area. And then over here we'll do, pick one area under that. And then over here we'll do character, and over here we'll do skills, and then we'll come back together and you guys will report back on what you've decided on this one area under either convictions, character, or skills, and how you could develop forms on it so we can get a working model, a working idea of how this works, okay? So just kind of migrate over to one side or the other here.
Well, I hope that exercise because, again, the tendency that we find oh, that's nice. Maybe even get a list like this. Oh, yeah, that's great. But not do anything with it. I can remember the first Navigator Bible study I was ever in. I was a young, brand new Christian, and we were doing a study on the wheel illustration. Many of you probably seen that one. And we did one on prayer, I remember. And we did the study, and as we were concluding the study, the rep who was leading the study said, well, let's just share application. And I said, Terry, let's start with you. And I said, well, my application is that I should pray more. And he didn't even smile or anything. He just looked me right in the eye and said, Terry, let's get it out of the should and ought to category. What are you going to do? You know, the thing about these areas, guys, is that all of these areas will confront you. And many of them, if not most of them, are confronting you now. You're facing them now. Down the road, they will confront you evermore. Now, the question is, are you going to be prepared for it? You know, it's not a question of if. It's only a question of when. And so, again, that's why we titled the workshop, The College Years, Developing the Foundations for Life and Ministry. Boy, now's the time to do something about it. So let me encourage you to really make sure that you decide you go graduate with multiple degrees. You could be growing in these. Now, one other, before we look, we're going to take just a couple minutes for application here. But before I do that, let me give you one warning on the area of conviction. Howard Hendricks, you know, professor at Dallas Seminary, has made the statement before that most Christian convictions are merely convictions of Christians. Paul wrote Romans 14 and 15, chapters 14 and 15, to deal with that. And so we want to make sure that we're well grounded in it. We have not just some beliefs, but we have some strong convictions. The caution is, keep in mind that we oftentimes can become very dogmatic on our convictions, and when in reality they're really not all that biblical. You know, my grandmother, bless her heart, she's with the Lord as I speak. out a few years ago, love Christ. But boy, when it came to, you know, the fact that women wearing shorts, you know, that was sin to her. I mean, just my sister, for her to wear shorts in the summertime was, that was just immodest, that was impure. And for boy, for Mama, she had a great deal of difficulty with that. She had a strong conviction on that. The only problem was that it wasn't a biblical conviction. Okay? So develop these, but you want to make sure that your convictions are constantly being tempered through the Word and through other believers. Okay? Through the Word and through other believers. But make sure you develop them. And just because you might agree with this list, I'm sure your list might be a bit different. That also doesn't mean that you necessarily have a conviction on it. Remember, you don't know if you have a conviction until it's tested. Okay? Now here's the application we'd like for you to make. We've got just a couple minutes here. We'd like for you just to, and you may have already done this just as you went through this process, we'd like for you to pick one area in each of these three categories. Okay? You know, it's early on in the year 1998, you got halfway through the school year, but the calendar year, you've got most of it. What I'd like for you to think about doing is picking one area in each one of them, each category. And what are you going to major on this year? What will be your major this year in the area of convictions? Maybe it's the area of God's sovereignty. You know, you don't even understand the concept. The fact God's providence, that He's in control. I don't even know what the concept means. So this year, in the area of convictions, I'm going to major in the area of God's sovereignty. Maybe in the area of purity, it's the issue of integrity, honesty. That's the area I feel like I need to work on. And under skills, maybe it's the issue of managing finances. I can't keep a dollar in my pocket. You know, it just burns a hole in there. Anytime I get some change, I got to spend it. Managing finances, maybe that's it. Maybe it's the area of evangelism. Okay? But I'd like for you to pick one area in each category, and that's going to be your major. So whatever you're majoring in, you got three new additional majors. Okay? The second question I'd like for you to think about is, what are you going to do about it? And that's this right here. Once you take some time, you won't have time right now to do it, but in each of your majors, why don't you just think through, get some time alone with God and say, God, what are some forms? Maybe it's a three-sided form. Maybe it's a five-sided form. You know, the area of God's sovereignty. I'm going to read Louis Burkhoff's, you don't know who that is, but he was a theologian who wrote a book called Systematic Theology. I'm going to look at the area of God's providence or God's sovereignty. You know, I'm going to do some study on that. I'm going to do a Bible study on it. You know, whatever. Okay? So, pick an area. Think through what's your form going to look like. The third area, third question that we'd like for you to think about is, who are you going to share this with? I developed laziness. I mean, that's one of my strengths. I've developed it over years. And what I find, if I don't have someone to hold me accountable, that area runs wild. I just get lazy on it. I have the greatest of intentions, but I don't get to it. So, what's your major? What are you going to do with each one? And the third thing is, who are you going to share this with? Because I really would like you to share this with somebody. Who's leading your Bible study? Maybe your dad. Maybe your mom. Someone just say, hey, Mom, this is my major this year. Can you help me with this? Does that make sense? Those three things? Okay? Now, let's do this one.
I don't want to ask her to help you with the purity one. Yeah. That's tough accountability.
It is. Although I tell you, she will do it. That may be the better accountability, actually. What we'd like to do is this. As you're thinking through, we're going to take about 5 minutes just for you to think through on those areas so you don't, if those are clear at this point, you can jot them down. But what we'd also like to do is this. We'd like to send you a reminder. So we'd like to put your name. And I don't know if you have email. If you have email, we'd prefer your email address. If you don't have email, just put your regular address. And in about 4 to 6 weeks, what we'd like to do is just drop you a note and just say, hey, how's it going? You know, are you working on it? If you're like me, I'll make the greatest application today. and 4 weeks from now, I've completely forgotten about it. So I need the reminder on that. So let me start over here with Justin. If you could just put your name and address on there, we'll drop you a postcard, a note, or an email note, and just ask you those three questions. What's your major? What are you going to do about it? And then who are you working with? Who's helping you do that? Okay? Well, while that's going around, just go ahead, if you haven't done it already, just if you can. You may not be to the point where you can even pick those three areas, but maybe you can. Would I take just a couple minutes or so for you to maybe even on either on this sheet or just on a piece of paper, jot those down.